This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're in a mini-series entitled Keys to Victorious Living. Keys to Victorious Living. And I already told you last week that the key ingredient is having a relationship with Jesus. That is the springboard for everything in our lives. Jesus came that we may have life and live it victoriously. To the degree that we are willing to accept Jesus into our hearts and live faithfully for him, we will see our lives get better and better. John 10 and 10, they'll put it up on the screen. When we look at the Bible and it's written in red, what does that mean? Jesus is talking. So Jesus says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." He says, "I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." In the Amplified, it says, "to the full till it overflows." So you have to understand that Jesus came, he died, and he shed his blood so you could live a victorious life. It is not God's will for you to live a defeated life. It is God's will for you to live a victorious life, and you can only do it to the degree that you just don't make him Savior, but you make him Lord of your life. Right? And so it's submitting your will for his will. It's submitting your way for his way, right? Luke, the fourth chapter and the 16th verse, I want to jump right into it, and we're going to just keep talking about Jesus. After all, he is the reason for the season, isn't that right? But how many know that we just don't celebrate Jesus during this season? We celebrate Jesus every single day of our lives, right? So you can celebrate Christmas in August. You can celebrate Easter in December because it's all about Jesus. Amen. Luke, the fourth chapter and the 16th verse, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." Verse 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." So as his custom, Jesus went to church. It should be our custom that we go to church, amen? "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias," or Isaiah. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." And Jesus says, he's reading, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The Bible says that after that, he then closes the book, right? And everybody's looking at Jesus. And then Jesus looks at them and says, "This day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears." And they were like, "Man, this dude is crazy," right? And you would think, well, it went pretty well, his sermon, because the Bible says later that they led him unto a hill and tried to push him off. I think it didn't go over well because he basically said, "This is who I really am. That I'm not just a carpenter, but I am the Son of God, and this is what I've come to do. I have come to fulfill that scripture." And he was already doing it. And I want to remind everyone in the room who all believe in Jesus, and I pray you do, and if not, we're going to give you opportunity at the end. But I want to remind every person in this room and online that Jesus can never change. All right. The Bible says he's immutable. Immutable means that he can never change. He can't change, because if he could change, that means he could get better, and he can't get better because he's perfect. Does that make sense? So if he can't change, that means if he did these things back then, he still does them now. So not only was he a healer, but he still is a healer. Not only was he a protector, but he still is a protector. Not only was he a deliverer, but he still is a deliverer. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about those five things that he read from the book of Isaiah the prophet and that we can see that are available to us today. I made the comment last week that one of the epidemics we have in the body of Christ is that we make him Savior. Watch this now. But we don't make him Lord. We stop at salvation. Yeah, I'm going to get saved because I don't want to go to hell. All right? Yeah, but what happens is if you just get saved so that he's in my heart, eternal life's there, but I don't go any further, right? Then you're going to live a defeated life. Does that make sense? You have to learn to warfare. You have to learn to worship. You have to learn the word. Does that make sense? And so I want to show you five things that are available to us through Jesus based on what he read, all right? And so we're ready to dive in. Are you guys ready to do it? All right, everybody say number one. Number one, salvation. And even though I say we shouldn't just stop there, it's important that I explain it. So Jesus came to preach it. I came to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel is good news. And the good news is God sent his only son, Jesus, who was the perfect sacrifice, who knew no sin. He became sin for you and I. He paid the sin debt, allowing us to have a relationship with the Father. Watch this, live a victorious life here on this earth. And then when we close our eyes here on earth, we're going to spend eternity in heaven with the Father. You got it? And so watch this. Everybody say, it gets better. The gospel is the good news that Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing, came to remove our burdens and destroy our yokes by the power of God. And you don't have a problem that God can't solve. You don't have a situation he can't fix. You don't have a sickness that he's not already healed. See, Jesus has taken care of all of that in the finished work of Calvary. And if we will just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Does that make sense? Christianity is different from every other religion in the world. You got it, well, Pastor, Christianity isn't exactly religion. I know the theological part. I'm just trying to give a basis before people who understand what I'm talking about, but I feel you, all right? Christianity is different from every other religion in the world. That's because it's the only religion where you can go to heaven and you don't have to work for it. The writer says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast," right? So you don't have to do the work. You just have to do the receiving. Does that make sense? And once you receive him, you got to live for him. Does that make sense? But how many know Jesus has already done all the work? You got it. It is by grace are you saved through faith. And the thing I love about grace is you can't do anything good enough to deserve it, but you can't do anything bad enough to get rid of it. That's what makes it grace. And the primary focus of Jesus' ministry was to get people saved. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And we, as a spirit-filled church, how many know that we can never lose the focus of evangelism and telling people about Jesus? We can never lose the focus of inviting people to church. We can never lose the focus of telling people our story, how God did it for us, and the same God that did it for me can do it for you. Does that make sense? See, the church is to be like a swimming pool. You got it? A swimming pool? Have you ever been to the swimming pool? You got it? To the swimming pool with Pookie and them just hanging out on a Saturday? You got it? And when you go to the swimming pool, if you notice, you got all types of people that come to the swimming pool. And that's what I love about Without Limits. We red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in his sight. Some of us come from Church of God in Christ in the apostolic way. And some of us say, no, that was a little too much for me. You got it? I come from the Presbyterian side. You understand? And then some say, I came from AME. We came marching in. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we come from different walks. And that's kind of how the swimming pool was. Because when you went to the swimming pool, some of the guys would take their shirts off and they'd run and do a cannonball right into the deep. You got it? While you had others say, no, man, I ain't going to that deep water. I'm going in this little 2 feet, 3 feet. I'm going wade in the water. Yeah, I'm going to be right here. And then you have some say, no, I don't fool with water. You understand? And water don't fool with me. I may sit on the side and put my feet in, but that is as far as I'm going. And you have to understand that the church is to be like that. We are not supposed to be so suchy much and so sophisticated that nobody can walk in and get the word. And pastor is going to teach the word in a simplistic manner where if you are in the deep, I got something for you. If you in 2 feet, I got something for you. If you just trying to put your feet in, you're going to get something out of the lesson that I'm teaching you. Does that make sense? And so you have to understand the importance of telling people about Jesus. I showed you that graphic a few weeks ago that ultimately people bring people. And you have to look at it as your responsibility to bring. I can't make you do it. I can't force you to do it. So it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit puts it in your heart that I've got to tell people about Jesus. I've got to invite people to my church. Because how many in the room, after having come to this church, you are living a better life? You got it? Well, watch this now. Then you don't want to withhold from somebody else, because if you invite them, their life's going to change like your life changed. Does that make sense? Y'all get anything out of this? All right. So that was number one. Everybody say number two. Number two is healing. He says that he came to open the blind eyes. As a kid growing up, my father, just a mighty man of God. And as a kid, I saw so many healings and miracles and just breakthroughs and deliverances and that anointing. And those gifts were just on my father's life. I thank God that some of those have fell on me, and I don't take that for granted. But as a little boy, my father loved Acts 10 and 38, and he always preached about Jesus. He was just a Jesus preacher, and that's what it's all about, right? Acts 10 and 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what, class? Good. Come on, doing what? Good. So Jesus went about doing good. I submit to you that we're supposed to go about doing good, right? Oh, it says, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And when we begin, first of all, I talked to you a little bit last week that by his stripes, we are already healed, right? We went to, you can go to Isaiah, you can go to Peter, you can go to a lot of, I could take you to a lot of different places, but we know we are healed, and we have to walk in that healing. Some sickness, the Holy Spirit was showing me, is a direct result of simply oppression from the enemy. Sometimes the enemy will try to oppress you and put something on you and then make you think that you did something wrong to get it. You got it? And so you have to understand that some sickness is a direct result of oppression from the enemy, but Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, you're not going to be healed. You are already healed. So you have to receive it by faith, and you have to start walking in it. That is why Pastor teaches you the word of faith. My pastor, Pastor Taylor, taught me years ago, I can give you a fish and feed you a meal, or I can teach you how to fish and feed you a lifetime. And my whole thing is, if I teach you the word of faith, it's going to work no matter where you go. You got it? As a pastor, I'd love for everybody to always stay here and never get orders to someplace else for my military people, or, you know, people relocate. I understand life just don't work like that. But the great thing is, even if you have to leave this ministry, you can take the word of faith with you, and the same word of faith that works in New Bern, North Carolina is the same word of faith that will work anywhere on this absolute continent, because it's the word of God. Does that make sense? And so, and that's why I teach you faith. That's why I teach you that, you know, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it eat the fruit thereof, that you have to watch what you say. Because most people have not made a connection between what they say and what they have in their lives. You can't, like, if I see you, don't come talk to me, yeah, Pastor, I'm sick. I'm going to say the devil is a lie. No, you know, well, you know what I mean. No, I know what you said, and the devil knows what you said, right? No, I am the healed, resisting sickness and disease, right? Because Jesus has already taken care of it on Calvary, and by faith, I receive ultimately and totally my healing, and I keep confessing the word of faith over my life. I keep confessing the word of healing over my life because I am already healed, right? I'm now just waiting for my body to get the revelation of it so I can have full manifestation of what's going on, but I'm already healed. So even though if there's a little bit of pain in my body, an ailment, a report from the doctor, faith never denies the facts, but it looks, watch this, it overlooks it based on truth. The truth is the truth of God's word. John 17 and 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. And so the truth is, you are not sick, but you're healed. You're not poor, but you're rich. You're not defeated, but you have the victory. You're not alone, but you have a friend. The truth is, you can do all things through Christ that strengthen you. The truth is, you are more than a conqueror who them that love you. And I can keep giving you truth and truth and truth because it's all in the word of God. And you take that truth with you wherever you go. Does that make sense? Amen. And so, and as much as pastor is accessible, I will meet with you anytime, talk anytime. We've got staff and leaders and, you know, but the truth of the word is, man, sometimes you get a hold of this and you love your pastor, but I don't need to call pastor and pray for me because I already know Jesus bore my sickness and infirmity on a tree. You got it? We talked to one of our members who came through, came down the line at the 9 o'clock, and she, said that she was in a health challenge. She thought, I knew what to do. She said, I went and got the packet. You know, I put the oil on me. I had the prayer cloth. I started reading the confessions. I flipped it over. I said the scriptures. I'm back and I'm healed. Why? Because the word works if you work the word. All right? And so, five things we can that are available to us through Jesus. Number one was salvation. Number two was healing. And then number three, this is very, very important, but sometimes, if we're not careful, even as the church, we look away from this. But Jesus also came that we might have inner healing. Everybody say inner healing. Inner healing. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, all right? He came to heal the brokenhearted. So Jesus came not only to heal us physically, but he came to heal us emotionally, all right? It is not God's will for us to have, let me just say in just a normal way. It's not God's will for you to be depressed. It's not God's will for you to be oppressed. It is not God's will for you to be dealing with things emotionally where you're hurt and you can't get over it. And it doesn't mean what happened wasn't right, but what it means is that God can heal you from it. Does that make sense? You got it. And we live in a day and time where, you know, in this culture, you hear them talk a little bit more about mental health, right? But then I've seen, a lot of churches and preachers just push that. And, you know, and honestly, as a younger preacher, because I still think I'm a young preacher, right? I'm praying like, okay, Lord, like, you know, where do I go with this? Because I'm hearing people that I look up to say, I don't believe in therapists and I don't believe in, and I'm like, I was in the mental health system for years and I kind of do, you know? And he told me, he said, son, he said, do you not know that trauma was in the Bible from the beginning? One brother killed another brother. He said, look at the trauma that was in that family. You got it? And so he said, no, you have to talk about those things. And so ultimately, you know, I believe time helps. You got it? But Holy Spirit heals. But I also believe, I've given you my definition on wisdom for years, that is taking the natural and the spiritual together, you got it, to bring forth the perfect will of God for our lives. I know Christian therapists. I believe in it. I believe in counseling. I believe sometimes you need to talk to somebody. Sometime talking to somebody is a way of releasing things, you got it, instead of keeping everything in all the time. No, the therapist is not going to heal you, but it helps. Does that make sense? And you have to understand that. But sometimes we're so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good. And imagine me as your pastor telling you, I don't believe in that, and I don't believe in that. And now because you look up to me, you know, you're shying away from something that could help you. Does that make sense? Yeah, I look at therapy like I look as an antibiotic. I know Jesus is a healer, but if I have an infection and the doctor wants to give me an antibiotic, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the antibiotic because it's going to help heal me. Does that make sense? And so we shy away from this and we shy away from mental health, but Jesus didn't come just to heal our physical bodies. He came to heal our mind and he came to heal our emotions, all right? And if you, watch this, if you need to be healed emotionally, watch this, and you shy away from it and you don't get healed emotionally, it will affect what you do on this earth and how you relate to others emotionally. If you never get healed, let me tell you what the devil wants. He wants those of us that need to be healed in those areas to not get healed in those areas because he wants you to live a roller coaster life. He wants you to be up here, then down here. Then what happens is those that love you and are around you, they're not really sure what to expect. They love you. They ain't going to change their mind, but they don't know what to expect. And then you'll get frustrated with yourself because I don't want to be like that. Not understanding that you need to put some things in place to get the help you need. You got it. And ultimately, you need to start praying. You need to start confessing. You need to get a prayer war with you. Come on, somebody. You put the natural and the spiritual together because you are not going to overcome it. You are already overcoming it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a good place to clap right there. And y'all all missed it. Now, as much as I believe in therapy and psychologists and those kind of things, and, you know, for years I had to deal with them for some of the things that we did in the mental health field, there's one word that was always difficult for me, one word that they used that was always difficult for me, and I understand where they're coming from, so I'm not knocking them because I believe in it, but they would always tell, you know, our kids, they would tell them, we had group homes for kids for years, all right, and we would take them to therapy once a week and those kind of things, so I didn't want you to think I was talking about Jay and Hannah. They would always tell them, well, I can give you something to help you cope. And that always bothered me because, you know, I can show you how to cope with it. And I get it, and that's helpful, but at some point we have to understand that Jesus doesn't just want us to cope, he wants to set us free. And that's the key, that Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus came to set you free. He came to set you free from hurt. He came to set you free from anger. He came to set you free from resentment. He came to set you free from insecurities. He came to set you free from addictions. He came to set you free from strongholds. He came to set you free from fears. He came to set you free from bad things that happened from you. So no matter what it is or no matter what it was, and I'm not denying it, and I'm not trying to make it small because it's real, and you need to get the natural help you need and the spiritual help you need, but I'm here to tell you in the name of Jesus that we're declaring that you are already free. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So, and let me just, before I go to my next point, never knock somebody, Never knock somebody if they're honest with you and tell you how they're feeling. Did you ever think that maybe they came to you because they trusted you? You got it. You know, and then let me go a little bit further, because sometimes we'll accept it if it's a woman, right? But if it's a man, oh, you're just so weak. No, maybe they're going through something. Does that make sense? And so you have to make sure that if somebody comes to you, the first thing you have to do, you got it, is the Bible talks about the eyes of your understanding, you got it, being enlightened. So you have to listen to them through the lenses of eternity, you got it. You got to hear what they're saying and allow the Holy Spirit to help you respond to them and telling them you just need to go take a nap. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay. You know, all right, in the back, let's put up point number one. All right, class, what's point number one? Salvation. All right, salvation was made for us. You got it. Jonah says salvation is of the Lord. I said, I know that's right. All right, let's put up point number two. Class, what is point number two?
Healing.
All right, let's put up number three. Class, what is point number three?
Inner
healing. All right, and now let's put up number four. What is it, class? He came to preach deliverance to the captive. And so deliverance belongs to you, and deliverance belongs to me for whatever it is that you need to be delivered from, all right? And there are people that don't understand spiritual warfare and demons and those kind of things. There are literally people, I've heard people preach that the demons are in third world countries. No, they here. They here. They most definitely here, all right? I think they may be a little bit more sophisticated. You got it. But when you begin to understand that there are, now you don't have to attach yourself to any of this. I'm just giving you information, okay? But there are spirits of unforgiveness and spirits of bitterness and spirits of resentment and anger and hate and envy and jealousy. Spirits of pride. Spirit of pride holds a lot of Christians back. You got it. A lot of Christians, that spirit of pride. Then there's lying spirits. You got it. You know anybody lying? No, don't answer that question. You lying. No, but anyways, lust spirits. And these are all spirits that can control people in these areas. And sometimes people want to do what's right. You got it. But they feel that they can't do what's right. Paul said another member wars against the law of my mind. You got it. And he said, when I would do good, evil is always present. You got it? And so what happens is people want to break free and they think they can't break free because the reason is they're trying to do it on their own. You can never break free on your own, but you can break free with Jesus. There is something about the name of Jesus and there's something about the blood of Jesus that breaks everything that's not like God. Because the blood still works, and the blood still, watch this, the blood still has power. There's still power in the name of Jesus. That is why when something happens, right, or even when someone comes to me and I say, hey, how you doing? Pastor, I'm sick. I say, the devil is a lie. You are not sick. You are to heal, resistant sickness and disease in the name of Jesus, right? So we're going to say what the word says, because Jesus is the answer. And so Jesus can deliver you from any addiction. He can deliver you from any stronghold. He can deliver you from anything that's not like God, right? But I heard this old mother say years ago, he can deliver you if you want to be delivered. And that's the key. You have to want to be delivered, all right? And so you have to know that Jesus is the answer. And watch this. And you have to know that you're not going to be free, but you're already free. Come on, let's just do this together. Just repeat and say, I am free. Right now, I am free. Free from sickness, from disease, from depression, from poverty, from lack, from insecurities, from addictions, from strongholds, from everything. I am free. I believe it. I receive it. It is so right now in Jesus' name. Now clap your hands and give God praise. So on my faith process, and I got to move. But on my faith process, watch this. If we look at freedom, watch this, or we look at victory as being that keyboard, if we're not careful, the enemy wants to make us think that every day I'm walking to my freedom or I'm walking to my victory. But you're not walking to your freedom or you're not walking to your victory, because Jesus is on the inside of you. And when you receive Jesus, you receive freedom, you receive victory, you receive joy. So I'm never walking to it. I'm walking in it. I'm walking in my freedom. I'm walking in my victory. I'm walking in everything that God has already done for me. You got it? You know, but your spouse said, yeah, but you was acting crazy last night. Yeah, I might have been acting crazy, but I'm free. Come on, somebody. I acted crazy last night, but I ain't going to act crazy tonight. And I ain't going to act crazy tomorrow night. And I ain't going, so then you get 3 days under your belt, and then you act crazy on the fourth night. But just thank God I got 3 days under my belt. Next time it's going to be four. Come on, somebody. And you keep working that process. You got it? To the degree you look back and say, man, I ain't acted crazy in months. Because whom the Son has made free, he's free indeed. This young preacher's preaching up in here this morning, whether you realize it or not. All right, my last one, number five. The thing that is available to us through Jesus is baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to teach probably in the first quarter on the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to have a long time. I got 3 minutes and 30 seconds left. But let me give you a quick breakdown and understanding. The Bible teaches us that there are three baptisms, okay? There's the baptism of salvation, all right? That's when we get saved, all right? The Holy Spirit does this. And then there's water baptism. The church does this. And then there's baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this is as a result of Jesus and what took place on Calvary and Acts and the day of Pentecost and those things, all right? The only baptism required to get to heaven is the baptism of salvation, all right? However, you got it, it's a good idea to experience the other baptisms, but it is not required, all right? So Jesus says to set at liberty them that are bruised. This literally means to free them from the pressure of life and give them comfort. When I looked it up, it literally means when Jesus said that, and I did a lot of word searches just to make sure one theologian wasn't off, but they all say the same thing. It literally means to free them from the pressures of life and give them comfort. That sounds like the Holy Spirit to me, all right? And so most people preach that the last thing that Jesus said before he left was go. That's actually not the last thing he preached. He said the last thing he actually told them was to stay until you're empowered and then go. Watch this. I'll show it to you in Acts 1, because you know if I'm going to tell you anything, I'm going to back it up with the scripture, right? Acts 1 and 4, here we go. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. He says, but ye shall receive power. Everybody say after. And this is why we need the Holy Ghost. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he, Jesus, had spoken these things while they beheld, or they were looking at him, he was taken up in, and a cloud received him right out of their sight. That was Acts 1 and 4. Just go next door to Acts 2. You know, it's all one big letter, but they just break it down into chapters and those kind of things. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this is what Jesus was telling them about the promise of my Father, Holy Spirit. They were all in one accord, in one place. Sounds like they were obedient because Jesus told them to stay, right? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled, same word as baptized. You can look it up, with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right? Well, and let me just help you. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is its own baptismal experience, and you have to be saved to get to heaven. There's no other name under heaven whereby men shall be saved but the name of Jesus. It's at that name, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess, right? That he's Lord to the glory of the Father. Water baptism, if you get saved and don't ever get water baptism, you're still going to make it to heaven. If you get saved, right, and you never experience the gift of being baptized in the Holy Spirit with that heavy language, you're still going to make it to heaven, right? But what you don't want to do is speak against it. Because watch this. If you feel it's not for you, no problem. See, I teach the word across the board like I teach anything. When I teach you on giving, do I force you to give? No, absolutely not. So just when I teach on Holy Spirit in the first quarter, I'm not going to force it on. I'm going to give you information, and I'm going to give you revelation, and that's enough for you to make a decision, right? Well, but what you don't want to do is preach against it. I know preachers personally. You know, some of them I'm acquaintances with, and I do believe that they love the Lord. I really do. But what happens is, you know, they would tell me, well, Holy Spirit's not for today, and I ain't going to do that boo-ba-boo-ba-boo-ba stuff. And, you know, I mean, the guy's talking to me, you know, in town, asked me to go to lunch. I was like, yeah, I'll go to lunch with you. And so when he did that, it didn't offend me. I said, oh, no problem. I said, well, Kenton, you know, I got my Bible with me. How you got your Bible? On my phone, my Bible app, you know. And I said, well, can we just go to the scripture? Oh, I ain't going to the scripture. And that's the problem. Because people tell us it's not for today, and we're just supposed to believe it. That is why anything pastor ever told you, you can go to the scripture and verify that it is there. Does that make sense? So let me just show you that Holy Spirit is for today, and after that, we're going to have to wrap it up. I'm all the way out of time, y'all. I'm just telling you. So y'all just give me like 2 or 3 minutes, and then me and Hannah Banana, we got to hit the road and go see Mimi and Pop-Pop, all right? So Acts 2 and 37, but I can't leave you hanging. You got to know this. When I teach on Holy Spirit, I will teach at least 3 Sundays on it, and I will break it down. When you get done, you are going to understand the full ministry of the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They heard the word. It pricked their heart. Peter said, man, number one, you got to get saved. First baptism, right? He said, and then you need to be baptized. That's water baptism. You got it. And he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the third baptism. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children. Wait, hold on, whoa, let's start off. We're reading it too fast. I thought it wasn't for today. Verse 39, for the promise is unto
you
and your
children
and to all that are,
all.
Even as many as the Lord our God,
all.
It seemed like that's la-di-da-di everybody, right? Right. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, but that was Peter, you know, and Peter, he probably wasn't around Jesus at the right time. You know, Peter be messing up stuff. You know, after all, he did cuss. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Let's go back to the red, because the red means Jesus was talking. John 14 and 16. This is Jesus. And I will pray the Father, or more to the Father. And that's what I love about KJV. All right. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you what class? Another comforter, that he may abide with you
forever.
So that the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable. So the Bible teaches that the word profits us. And he goes on to say for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and those kind of things. Well, reproof is a dismantling of erroneous thinking. It is erroneous to think that Holy Spirit is not for today when we see it in scripture. I don't have time to take you to the law first mentioned. Well, actually, I kind of did. And then show you if I take you here and I take you here and I take you here, you know, you're going, you know, I that stuff really does a lot for me. But the Lord told me always teach the word in a simplistic manner. You understand? I talk about the law first mentioned. 90% of y'all going to be like, Pastor, you done lost me. And that's not the goal. The goal is when you walk out of here, my pastor showed me through the scripture that the Holy Spirit is for today. And if I want him, all I have to do is receive him. Does that make sense? All right. Oh, man. Oh, we got to go home, Maestro. We got to go home. All right. Everybody say, if you had time. All right. If you had time. If you had time, Preacher Man would explain to you what this heavenly language is, how it causes you to your spirit to pray directly to the Father, and that you pray the perfect will of God for your life. If Preacher Man had time, he would take you to Romans 8 and 26 that teaches us that the Spirit helps our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. It didn't say we don't know how to pray. It says sometimes we don't know what to pray, and there's a difference, right? But he says, but the Holy Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because watch this, he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when I pray, I'm praying the perfect will of God for my life. So watch this, when I pray this heavenly language, you heard me praying a little bit earlier today, I think during ministry moment. So when I pray the perfect will of God, when I pray my heavenly prayer language, slow down, preacher. I pray the perfect will of God for my life. I edify and build up myself. Watch this, class. When we pray in English, our thoughts, prejudices, even fears can intervene because we organize our prayer. Or Holy Spirit can prompt, or you can be praying for people, right? And you got a list that you always pray for. You haven't prayed that list in, you know, maybe 2-3 weeks. Somebody on that list has done you wrong since the last time you prayed. And now you pray and you hit that up. I ain't praying. You done got all out the spirit. But when you pray, watch this, the perfect will of God for your life and the perfect will of God for others, when you're praying the prayer of intercession and you're praying that whole, it doesn't matter. You're not organizing anything. You are just praying the perfect. You know, I don't know what you're saying. Yeah, but God does. And that's why I don't have a whole, you know, pastor doesn't, you know, do it for 45 minutes at a time, because the Bible says it actually doesn't edify you, it edifies me. Does that make sense? All right. Oh, man, I need to have a little bit of extra time to really explain some of the gifts. You all know them to a degree, and I've taught you along the way, but it's tough because we're always getting new people, and I want to make sure everyone's at the same place. Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, was the empowerment to walk righteously on this earth. Jesus came to make us righteous and in right standing with God. Holy Spirit came to empower us to live righteously. When the law was given, they couldn't keep it. They had no power to keep it. So Holy Spirit empowers us to live righteous in an unrighteous generation. So it's going to be almost impossible to live righteous without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, boldness shows up. There are a lot of believers that they love the Lord, but they fall at temptation. Why? Because they have need of the next step while living on this earth to receive the Holy Spirit and that gift so they can live an empowered life. Ephesians 5 and 18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. You know what debauchery is? That's a life that's out of control. You know, that's the life that's out of, so, you know, I know people won't go back and forth about drinking and well, the Lord said, the Bible said we could drink wine. You got it. He didn't say you could drink that hard liquor, that Mad Dog 2020. Actually, the Bible, I just had to recently do a research on this, because I just haven't followed a lot because I never drank. So I just didn't think anything about it. And actually, the Bible, actually, there's different places where it speaks against drinking. You got it. And so, you know, but I mean, strongest drink I drink is, and I don't drink it much, you got it, but the strongest drink I do drink, I mean, just being full transparent, is a Diet Mountain Dew. Yeah, just full transparency, you got it. you know, I just, you know, and I don't drink that much. You got, I drink water most of the time, right? And so lady and I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, I've been trying to eat right. And then, you know, lady's like, you know, and I ain't going to put it on lady. We went to Smithfield's Chicken and Barbecue yesterday. Huh? Okay. And so, no, it's my job to cover you, baby. And so, so I think I said, I said, man, I'm going to get, I was like, do they have Diet Mountain Dew? She said, yeah, I think they do. And I ordered me a Diet Mountain Dew. They gave me a Diet Pepsi. And you talking about strong drink? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, Jesus. I know y'all be laughing at me, but you got to thank God you got a real man of God who's saved, who's living for Jesus. Come on, somebody. You got to appreciate you got a real man of God. I don't know all that stuff they be doing out in the, I don't even care. You got it? Because I'm not going home to heaven for a long, long time. But by the time I do, I'll know that I have made an incredible impact because of the life that I live. No doubt about it. But I know y'all laughing, man. I don't care. I ain't mad about it. You know, I put a picture up of lady last week, a bunch of pictures of her. She's so fine. Lord Jesus, she's so fine. And I told her, I sit on the caption, you look fly, you look good. On my mama, on my hood. Everybody under, Pastor, who helped you with this? Pastor, did lady tell you to say this? I ain't studying y'all. Let's stand up. We got to go home. Now, don't grab your bags yet, but let's stand up. So real quick, when it comes to receiving this language, Pastor, I was told the only way you receive it is someone lays hands. We do see that in Scripture, but we also see in Scripture where there was no hands laid and they received. So this is what you do. You don't have to wait till pastor preaches it in the first quarter of the year. You say, man, I want that language. This is what you hear the steps. Number one, remove all barriers. Remove everything that anybody told you about Holy Spirit not being for today and that ookie mookie boo 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 stuff. Just get rid of all that, all those thoughts. Because I've given you enough scripture for you to understand the word. And get in a quiet place and just worship God. You got it? You know, of course, you have to be saved. You got it? And so if you're not saved, you need to get saved first. You know, even if you're saved, repent of any sins and just get in a quiet place and worship God. And then request for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then just as soon as you ask for that gift, receive Him by faith and continue to worship God. And here's the thing. We're waiting on God to do something when He's waiting on you to do something, because the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they spake. You got to open your mouth. And as you begin to open your mouth, it might feel a little funny, but you'll begin to pray the perfect will of God for your life. So remove all barriers, request the gift of the Holy Spirit, receive Him by faith, and relate to Him daily. I pray in the Spirit every single day. Now, even though I don't pray in the Spirit long when I'm with you all, I might be driving somewhere. I might pray in the Spirit 10 minutes. Why? Because I don't know sometimes what to pray. You got it? But the Holy Spirit does. Last week, if you remember, I can't do it now, but last week, if you remember, on my prayer regimen, I gave you what I prayed for my wife and I gave you what I prayed over Jay and Hannah. It was very detailed. You got it? Because my thing is, that's how you do it, right? Well, when I pray for you, you got it. I pray for you. I pray for your family. I pray for protection over your life. I pray for increase over your life. I pray for your marriages. You got it? And then there's those that are single that I pray that they find godly contentment until they become married. And then there are those that are single who either were married, never going to get married again, or never got married, and that's actually not what they're supposed to do. I don't have time to get into it, but they're really married to the Lord. You got it? And that's a whole nother ministry, which is actually an amazing thing, okay? So I'm praying all these things over your life, but then after I get done, I begin to pray in the Spirit. Why? Because I don't know everything you're going through, but He does. And it's not my job to know all what you're going through, but it's my job to get in agreement and in faith with you that you are overcoming everything that you're going through. So heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for every person under the sound of my voice. You know them name by name and situation by situation, so it's with great confidence I know you are meeting them at the point of their need. And Father, there are some in this room that they need that inner healing. And I believe right now that supernaturally the Lord is beginning to start your healing process. Oh, you are healed. I'm not backing up, but that's the way He told me to say it. So he says, now I'm starting their healing process. There may be some natural things that have to happen along with the spiritual things to bring them together, but I'm here to tell you that you are healed. I curse depression at the authority of the name of Jesus. I curse anxiety. I curse oppression. I curse everything that's not like God that has tried to attack you in your mind, that's tried to attack you in your emotions, that's tried to make you feel like you are less than. The devil tried to make you feel, he'll tell you stuff like you're just dumb or you're just stupid. I curse every thought that's come against your mind in the name of Jesus. And I declare that you are who God says you are. I declare that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I declare that you are the apple of his eye and that you are the object of his affection. And I declare his favor surrounding you as a shield. I declare in the name of Jesus that every word from the enemy has been halted and we send it back to the sender in the name of Jesus. And I declare the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, right now is guarding your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I declare as of tonight, you're going to sleep better than you've ever slept before. But not just tonight, tonight and the next night and the next night after that. I declare that God is healing your broken heart. I declare he's healing your broken heart. And I just need you to say two words and we're going to get out of here. I just need you to say, I receive. Father, we thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise?